exactly what they expect. Pivotal moment in the history of the team. Of course, you know, I give me a Lincoln lift for that. So, the question that popped up was the mission of Lincoln Park. The reason why you have the physical values, the reason why you have any knowledge about anything is because of Lincoln Park. Can you imagine the world without books? We took these things for granted, but this was not the case for many people. Many times, for many people, in fact, one group of really rich people who had access to Shakespeare's writing or any kind of writing, perhaps a fiction book, books were like circulated. So you can say that fiction books is not a book for the media. Secondly, to give an industrial revolution in the 18th and 19th century, and shift to the world of production from homemade to machine-made, which is why you have goods delivered to you from Amazon. And if you order, let's say you have Amazon Prime that you order. Of course, you can go on and on about the invention of electricity, cars, planes, moon-landing in 1969. And if you have all this work, and it's been working in 50 years, and you kind of said,
care about his own soul, but in fact, if you're questioning about the identity of Christ, you know, he love his sake. This is what Jesus responds in verse 4. Jesus says, the stillness does not lead to death.
Thank you.
many people to do all over, but God has come to help me to console and comfort with brothers. Verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet Jesus. And here's the words that Martha said, verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, Martha said, Jesus, you are the physician of the soul and body. I've seen you as miracle. You can save my brother. Where were you? Where were you? Where were you, Jesus? Why did you delay it? Long. She's grieving. Her heart is aching. And she just wants to lay her heart down. Versus the way that we're not supposed to grieve. The way that we're called to grieve is to be honest with God and to God. The way the world calls us to grieve is just to be honest with your feelings and your conscience. But the way the Christians grieve is that we're honest, really honest with our doubts and feelings, but we go to the one who is actually transcended, who can not only pierce our hearts, but we feel broken hearts and broken bodies and broken situations. We go to the one, that is how we grieve, and that is what we feel. It's just a grieving one-on-one lesson that Jesus allows Martha to be. Amazing statement from Martha in verse 23. She says, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. You're the only one who can save, you're the only one who can be amazing savior. Your Father hears you, so I still believe. I don't blame you, but I still believe. What did Jesus say to the saving sister? Verse 23, Jesus says, your brother will rise again, to which Martha says back to Jesus, I know that he will rise again to your resurrection on the last day. In the document that goes these days, Jewish people believe in the concept of the last day. Last day. So Jewish people believe that there will be a day when the King Messiah comes and the bodies will be raised, the chosen people, the Israelites will be raised back to life. This is why many Jewish people say believe in physical burial, not cremation, because they want to be prepared for the way when the Messiah comes. In fact, when we came to Jerusalem in 2019, we saw students all over in Jerusalem, and they were able to prepare themselves for the king, and then these things most there, looking over the city of Jerusalem. Because Jewish people believe that on that last day, the resurrection, the body of resurrection will come about. So Martha, as a typical Jewish person, said, I know that that day is coming, the Lazarus, my brother, will rise again. And this is the strangest statement that Jesus says in our text this morning. Verse 25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Give me some milk, and then your husband says, I am the milk. have you ever heard so much as I am the resurrection of life? This is so crazy. It's so weird to be a Christian to believe in a real statement like this. I am the resurrection and the life. Those of you who know the Bible, this is not the first time you read this. You know that they are under the great skin of Exodus 3. When Moses was visited by God in the burning bush, he asked him to God, God, what should your name be? And God responds, I am who I am, I am. But this, I am, we don't even have English word to translate this. In fact, there's no language to translate this. The closest word that we have is either Yahweh or Jehovah, but that's not even the right pronunciation. It's a name that is too holy that Jewish people will never utter with their own mouth. Yahweh or Jehovah. So again, the strangeness of this thing, here comes this really strange guy in Jesus. Coming on the scene on earth, he's saying that I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the glory of the sea. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way of truth and life. I am the true vine. And he says in John 8, 5, 8, 6, before Abraham was. He's not saying that. He says, I am God in flesh. So then, either he's lunatic, he's crazy. No one says I am the resurrection of life, or he's actually who he says who he is. I am, he's claiming God. He doesn't mean I am the resurrection, knowing that, notice that he does not say I raise dead people. Notice that he does not say I give or perform resurrection. Resurrection doesn't consist of the reality. It's a noun. God is love. In the Christian faith, we believe that God is love. Love is not something that he does. He is love, which means that everything that he does is filtered through his love. If you were to poke him, love would just move out. Because it's so full of love. So in the same way, Jesus does not persuade dead people, he is the resurrection. That everywhere he goes, he raises dead people and dead people. We know surely that the woman who touched his garment, just like touching his garment, the dead body came back to life, like sickness represented as death and came back to life. And Jesus touched people, spiritually dead people, came back to life. And Jesus spoke and raised up. I looked at him a little bit around dead, just so after the physical arose. I'm the resurrection. and life today and now. This means the moment you confess that Jesus is Lord, the moment that you believe that He's raised from the dead, your eternal life has already started. You come here as a resurrected people because you are united to Jesus. If your eternal life starts later when you go to heaven, sign me up for something else. If Jesus told me something that he told me to prayer, and I didn't know anything about my faith and just like I'm alive and I close my eyes and I float in heaven, but that's what salvation is, sign me up for something more exciting. So eternal life has started now. And this life that goes forever and ever, and ever, life is God, there will be a day yet. But eternal life is invisible. And Jesus comes back. So your eternal life has already started, which means that when Jesus walked out of the grave, you too simply have walked out of that grave. You have been transferred from life, from death to life. You sit here. I stand here as resurrected people. And this is why so many Christians don't understand. He says, the life is so exciting. Life would get so much better if we know that our eternal life starts now, which means it doesn't matter what circumstances you're in today. It doesn't matter whether your friends or family are dying around you. It doesn't matter whether you have cancer and dying. It doesn't matter what situation, circumstances you're in. You're still in this world as a resurrected people. You're still alive. That's who you are in Christ. Your eternal life has started. Don't wait for that day. Your eternal life is here. Jesus is on the air and the resurrection of God. Which means the king. Also, is a reminder for which you will be alive. I think I'm going to call for your response. I think I'm going to call for emotional structure. Is it joy? Maybe. Joy is the most appropriate response for Christmas, because you see, passing away to Christmas, there's joy in all joy, there's joy in all joy, there's all of it. And I would argue, the most appropriate response for Easter is joy. So joy, think about the disciples. They thought that the life was over. They wasted 3 years of their lives. They put all their hope in the future and they died in the most frustrating, humiliating way possible. As a criminal, naked, beaten. As a Sicilian basket keeper, this is why they were hiding on Friday and Saturday, because they were still there helpless. Because there was no hope when Jesus died. So when Jesus had to remind them, I am the God of the hope. I told you this is what happened, but now let me show you. He walked out of that grave, and he rise from my dead. And he showed you the empty tomb, and he showed you my mark, so that now you know that I'm God of hope. Hope should mark Christmas, which means whether the Christmas is dead or not, while or in sorrow, you better not let it go, because it's all about peace. I'm not saying that you can't be sad. I'm not saying that we don't get depression. I'm not saying we can't brush away the reality of being and suffering. But what it means for us, what Easter means for us, is no matter what circumstances we are in, we breathe with hope. You have to think about all the sins and addictions that you still struggle as a Christian, because there's no way I can talk about it. And about the fears you have, that there's no way I can show my face to my family and my family to it. Think about the state of your marriage, the moment is no one my marriage is up there. Think about all the ways in my church will never follow Jesus. Think about all the circumstances, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way. So if you're in faith, God is showing to us. Because of the resurrection, telling you so. Fight against hopelessness. Fight against despair. Fight against the fear of man. Do not give in to despair or wallow in your sorrow, because your sorrow won't come to you. We are people of hope. We are people of hope. Think about all the people you say that there's no way God will save them. If you do not reach out, we should pray, we should stand in the gospel. Think about all the national, global out, there's no hope.
Some of the ways of the Lord is rational and practical. Some of the new company doesn't work for me. I live from Scotland, Nigeria. I live from Scotland, Syria. Some of the ways of the Lord. Christian government. Corruption has been perceived in the world. So glad you might not come back after this. Thank you.
Knowing him, following him, becoming like him. There's no one else. There are actually other routes that are faster for me. I could have gone Dodge or Ridge. But the reason I go on that Chicago Avenue to see the cemetery is for me to be reminded every Sunday morning. It's for me to prepare myself when I die for Jesus. And I'm preaching as a resurrected preacher. And I tell myself, go preach like it's the last time. This morning, when I was driving by, I was reminded of the words in 1 Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your power? One day, if Jesus does not come back, I will be buried. Hopefully not cremated. I will be buried. And now we'll hear the words of Jesus when he comes back. Just as Lazarus heard. Jesus told Lazarus in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I'm going to use the same words. Pray. Come out. And on that day, I'll be more alive than ever before. This is what you have in Jesus. This is what resurrection is all about. Jesus is the Lord, the King, the resurrection and life, and so we are not the same. We live life as a resurrected people. Know the power of the resurrection. Let's pray.